like to start, Stephen, by asking you a bit about your childhood, where you were, where you grew up, brothers or sisters, what your parents did, that kind of thing.
I have a sister who is 4 years older than me, and my parents, when they married in 1949, and I come from Lincolnshire. I was brought up in on a farm. I come from an agricultural family on both sides of the family. I'm on my mother's side and my father's side of the family. My mother, she developed diabetes in pregnancy, and then sort of had complications and sadly died at age 52 in 1977. Mm-hmm. My father was a self-employed farmer in a partnership with his brother, and worked on the farm together with their own father, not the three of them together initially, and then just the two of them. And it was an arable farm, growing sort of root crops such as potatoes, sugar beet, cauliflowers, cabbage, and then wheat and barley, and they kept livestock. They kept milking cattle, we had pigs, and we had bantam chickens, ducks and geese and that sort of it was very much a rural sort of upbringing, but because I wasn't sort of physically suited to becoming a farm labourer, and that sort of that was not something that I wished to pursue. Mm. And
were you a church attending family?
When I say church attending, I would initially 3 or 4 times a year, typical sort of village attendance, really, Easter, harvest, Christmas, initially 3 or 4 times. That's when my parents, that was about the maximum, really, the number of times that my parents went to church. It was only really when the neighbours and sang in the they had two boys and of a similar age to myself, and and they sang in the church choir, and they went to the local parish church. Lived at a small village called Quadring. It's spelled Quadring, Quadring, which is near Spalding in South Lincolnshire. So very much a rural upbringing, I suppose it was just something that initially appealed to me, and I sort of sang in the church choir. I was a server, and then latterly on the PCC. And then I left home, I was born in 57 and I left home in 82, and then moved to a rural town again in Lincolnshire, about probably 10 miles away, not too far from Spalding. Mm. But nearly all of Lincolnshire is mainly industry, or the businesses are agricultural, food processing industries, really.
So you went to school, that was okay?
I enjoyed at school, and the subjects that I really took an interest in were English language, English and history, really. That they were my two favourite subjects, and I suppose loosely, in a way, historical age of the church, you know, sort of, you know, architecturally and liturgically, and that sort of, and the tradition, you know, that sort of aspect, you know, appealed to me really.
Do you say that you had a at that time a kind of living faith, or was it the culture of the church that you enjoyed?
I suppose, as you call it, a living faith, that's something that evolved, you know, over, you know, sort of a period of time as I sort of progressed, as it were, sort of as I sort of grew, you know, from if like from an 8-year-old, you know, sort of to then my teenage and then my adult years. So that was something that evolved, and that sort of and sorry, the second point that
I
you.
was just saying, you know, did you, were you, was it the culture and the tradition of the church you were talking about?
Yes, very much certainly the culture in Lincolnshire, that you know, that farming sort of you know, families sort of I suppose it was probably more expected that you went to church really, and that sort of probably more so, and that sort of then, you know, there was both always sort of a reasonable attendance. I suppose when I think back, that there were always sort of two services, you know, sort of two, you know, and sometimes three, you know, sort of whereas now, that sort of most rural parishes, and that sort of you know, they're lucky if they get a regular, you know, sort of Sunday Eucharist, you know, sort of
At what point did you kind of sense what your sexual identity was? When did you become kind of aware of feelings?
Really, if you like, sexual feelings, when I was sort of knew that I was sort of different, if you like to use the word homosexual, gay, you know, whatever, and I somehow knew that I wasn't attracted to girls, and that sort of it was sort of you know, males, you know, sort of that I, if you like, became sort of I couldn't explain why, but somehow I was, and it wasn't a sexual sort of, you know, it wasn't a sexual fetish. It was just something that just sort of that, you know, that was part of me really, you know, sort of,
And did you have any sense of that being problematic in terms of you going to church or?
and sort of. No, not so much. Well, it was certainly. I mean, I didn't talk about it for, you know, for years. You know, sort of, no, yes. I suppose as I got older, I realised it was sort of. It was almost sort of frowned upon. It was something that was almost sort of dirty, you know, sort of, you know, that it, you know, you're sort of you know, part, you know, God's sort of you know, judgment, you know, sort of hell and damnation, you know, that it was all, you know, it was an abominable sin, and the worst, you know, atrocious that
Where
things
did you
were.
pick those messages up from?
Possibly because it was I suppose, if you like, be afraid to say, the church's teaching really, you know, sort of, and people's attitude, you know, to, and that sort of to gay people, because when I was growing up, sort of 1968, sort of 69, it was only sort of you know, again, those late 60s, early 70s, you know, sort of, I suppose it was very much in the news, you know, sort of, then, you know, sort of, because it was, you know, illegal to have sex with a man, you know, sort of, so, and, And again, and that sort of even in the it was just the public, it was the attitude within society, you know, sort of even within the late 70s, 80s, and that sort of I remember sort of buying my first copy of well, it was the Gay News, you know, so it was just the simple paper, you know,
Yeah.
sort of then, and even just getting that, you know, sort of either from, you know, your trip to London or the occasional copy in Smith's, you know, sort of or a, dare I say a not a Backstreet news agent, but those that sort of stock, and you were almost, you all felt that you were doing something horrific
Yeah.
by buying something, you know, sort of I mean, it wasn't illegal, you know, sort of and you were made to. So even then, still meet in secret, you know, sort of in a church hall, you know, sort of a meeting for men, you know, sort of on the first, although it wasn't advertised as that, it was more as a social gathering, you know, sort of a social meeting, you know, sort of,
Yeah.
you know, that's how it was phrased. It wasn't advertised as a gay meeting, but it was sort of a, it was sort of this secret language, really, the secret code, really.
Yeah, and that was in the church hall.
Yes, but it wasn't locally, and that's why I had to sort of go to somewhere that met. It wasn't a church hall, but again, it was somewhere sort of 30 miles away. You know, so you had to have a car, really,
Yeah.
to you know to because and I know it's a cliche now, you know, sort of to use the phrase you're the only gay in the village, you know, so, but that's how I felt, you know, sort of
Yeah.
you know, sort of. And because I was so actively involved in that sort of in the village, you know, sort of, and later when I moved to other parishes, well, Holbeach, spelled Holbeach, and another parish, Sutton Bridge, Sutton, then Bridge. Basically, I don't have on two occasions, and that's sort of during Lent courses, and that's sort of. And twice the comment was, you know, sort of, well, of course we have no gays and that sort of in our parish, you know, sort of, and I and even then it was, I mean, I wasn't out as a gay person, you know, sort of then, so it was still very difficult, you know, sort of.
Yeah. Did you come out to your family or did it just emerge naturally?
It didn't emerge. Naturally, how initially that sort of when my mother died in 1977, and then my father married again in 1979, and just before I left home, and that sort of my stepmother found gay magazines, get copies of Gay Times under the bed.
Should have hid them in a more imaginative
Well,
place.
yeah, well, yes, but I didn't expect to, you know,
First place parents look under the
but
bed.
yes, be that as it may, and of course, the next thing she knows, and that sort of, so, and that sort of, that sort of really sort of, and I was threatened that if ever I was seen to be with a man or bring a, you know, sort of a. Even a male friend home, I would be, you know, I'd have to leave home. So I knew then, you know, that my time,
Your
you
days were
know,
numbered.
my days were
Yeah,
numbered. So
yeah.
at the first opportunity, when I was able to, you know, to leave home, and that sort of, I did, you know, sort of. I mean, I know I had to wait another sort of 3 years, but it wasn't as easy then, you know, to move away from home, you know, sort of. You know that what father said, you know your father still ruled the, you know, ruled the roost, even though I was in my, you know, sort of teens and early 20s, you know, sort of. I mean, it's far more common for, you know, for even those that go to college and university, but even then, you know, when I was sort of, you know, sort of 18 up to 20, early 20s, you didn't sort of, although certainly in the rural community, you didn't sort of leave home at that early age, but once I left home, and that's about it was easier in a way, but because of where I was living, still in Lincolnshire, life was still very difficult, even though I lived on my own. Even though I could have, the world was my oyster, I still felt trapped in a way because of my financial means, because I, even though I was earning, and that sort of, it was a very small wage, but by comparison, when you're living in a working in a rural community, your salary is very certainly in the agricultural area and that sort of thing, especially sort of in the south compared to London, and that sort of it's a very small regular wage, so you were limited by how much money you actually sort of earned, so I didn't sort of really, if you like, I suppose I didn't do much about being gay or who I was.
It was just financially
too difficult, and to meet friends, it's still very difficult, to meet like-minded people, and that sort of, if I did, I would have to travel, 30, 40 miles away, to go to Peterborough, and it really was difficult, rather than meeting people on your doorstep, but having said that, once you did realise that you weren't the only gay in the village, as I say, there were other people, and it was then that you felt more ordinary, if that's the right word, and not strange or.
Yeah.
And sort of frowned upon, for being different, I didn't feel different, but just to be accepted, really.
Yeah. And how did that happen? How did your circumstances change?
My circumstances changed, really, and that sort of it wasn't until even as late as. Until I met Simeon, and that sort of it would be I suppose getting on to 15 years ago now, because I felt but because I had a disability, I thought, well, no one wants to meet a sort of gay disabled person, and that sort of and I thought, well, that's it. I've just got to accept life to being, it wasn't until we met across a crowded room, discussing human sexuality, Bishop Michael Doe, and at Lincoln, and we initially met we exchanged sort of numbers, because I live 40 miles away from Lincoln, he said, well, whenever you're coming up to Lincoln, and that sort of do call in for coffee, but of course it never worked out quite like that, because whenever I went to Lincoln, because I was a church warden at the time of the parish, I either had other people in the car, and it just wasn't possible. So moving further on, and that's sort of 2 years later, and that sort of met again, we've been together, ever since, prior to that, and that sort of I suppose not so far. I realised within the, Church of England that there are far more gay people, closeted, that still afraid to actually sort of come out, and I'm not necessarily talking about, clergy. That's when, I sort of realised, it was either just the odd look, or people would, the occasional male would either just look at you across again, from one side of the church to the other, even though you didn't say anything, but you just, it's sort of that hidden knowledge, an awareness, and I suppose that's my first. If you don't mind me just going back, just talking about myself, and that's just brings me back to the late 60s, my first parish priest, and that sort of I realised, I didn't know that he was initially gay, but it was a bit sort of like Benjamin Britten in one sense, having attraction to young boys, and that sort of the boys within the church choir, and that sort of he had a boat, and that sort of we'd travel on the boat from Boston, which had moored in Boston in Lincolnshire, to another village, sort of Horncastle or Woodall Spa, and it was always the boys on the boat, and that's although there was never anything impropriety or anything sexual, it was just an attraction, basically this particular parish priest, he also taught old time and sequence dancing, and that's he retired to Douglas in the Isle of Man, this would be in the early 1970s, the first time I sort of stayed, he ran a holiday flat business, and I stayed sort of overnight, and that sort of well, I initially shared a room with him, and that sort of I sort of sat in the single bed, and that was fine, and again, nothing untoward, but it was just in the conversations. It was just when he said that I can't see anything wrong in two male people living together, and I realised that I was sort of 17 at the time, and I thought, I don't have a problem, I don't see anything, although it did sort of initially sort of just took me, it took me a little bit by surprise, because I wasn't expecting it, and I thought, now what has he got to sort of say next, but he didn't, he sort of left it at that, and then he sort of, he said, would I go over, to Douglas, and that's which is the capital on the Isle of Man, basically sort of manage his holiday, flat business, look after the business, that was one is always wise with hindsight, and that's and I thought, now should I or shouldn't I have gone, taken up that opportunity, but I didn't at the time, because my mother's health was failing, she died of diabetes complications, but before she died in 1977, the last 4 years of her life were, was sort of deteriorating, and it was very difficult for me to uproot and just leave home, because I was 20 when she died, and we're talking about sort of, between the ages of 16 and 17, whether my life would have been, it certainly would have been interesting, I met, because I had about three or four sort of holidays really on Douglas on the Isle of Man, and I met through my retired parish priest, I realised he gradually introduced me to one or two of his male colleagues, in the lounge, of the I can't remember the name of the hotel, but it was near the Villa Marina. It might have been called the Villa Marina Hotel, and that's a bit pub. Yes, it was. I think it was actually in Douglas, and that sort of. And it was always the lounge bar. He had a liking for sort of going for a whiskey and that sort of. I realise now, looking back, he was an alcoholic because before he died, I learned he died of when he died a few years later of cirrhosis in the of the liver. It was through drink, really. But I had certainly interesting times, holidaying. I used to go back, fly from East Midlands Airport, to Douglas, and stay a fortnight at a time. I mean, he was very kind to me, and very much, if you like, I suppose, in a way, like in the way is the mould that we compare Benjamin Britten, to, how he treated, young boys, young men. It wasn't. There was never anything sexual. It was just an attraction, and it may have been the same with me. I have no idea, but that was certainly the one time when I really felt totally at ease,
And you were still involved in church?
Oh yeah, oh yes, I was doing.
Have you always
Yeah,
been?
yes, I've always been involved with church, really. I suppose, in a way, that's been the difficulty in one sense, because in one sense that it's been part of my life. And initially, I did explore becoming ordained, and that sort of. In fact, I did go twice down the path of exploring my vocation and ordination. Did go once to a selection conference, and but I was turned down because I realised, as it turned out, I realised at the selection conference, I was the only single male colleague, at the selection conference. And this was in 1991. And I realised that sort of, even though I hadn't mentioned my sexuality on the application form, it was the time of the, I don't know if you can recall,
Post-Glenlothes, isn't it?
Tony Hickton, he was quite outspoken about,
I don't know that name.
His book and his writings at that time, and that were well known within the clergy circle. He brought out a couple of books, and the tone of questioning, it was sort of honed in, on my sexuality, and then it got well, not it wasn't so much the direct questioning of sexuality, about even at one sort of interview that had I had a relationship with a woman, and I and at that point, and I said, oh, with respect, it's none of your business,
Can't do for you.
and I realized, I thought, well, that's it. I thought, I'm not going to get any further, with that, because it was just a horrendous time, and that sort of I suppose, in a way, I could have very easily, I don't know how I kept going to church, but then, it was suggested that I might explore becoming a reader within the Church of England, and which I have done, and I have enjoyed my ministry, but certainly latterly, and that sort of with how the church is treating gay people and the attitude to not allowing a ceremony, a church service, celebrating civil partnerships, and that sort of not even a blessing, in God's house of prayer. And now, the argument about gay marriage, and that sort of, not allowing that to sort of materialize, really. And even though the act has been passed, and that's, it's now a law, and that's But the church, it still thinks it has its the final say, you know, sort of. I'm literally, even though I still go to church sort of regularly and I'm still actively involved, I still sort of feel I'm only really clinging to by the edge of my fingertips, really. So
you're still a reader.
I'm still a reader. Yes.
Yeah. You still exercise that ministry.
No. I still exercise that ministry, but it is. I am finding it difficult, you know, even so.
Okay, so they haven't. I mean, they must know that you're with Simeon.
The parishes and the local churches.
You've had a civil partnership.
Yes, we had a civil partnership. That's yeah. About, and that was at Lincoln, that was well received, and that's the sadness on that particular day was my father and my stepmother, and I still don't know why, because my father died last August, and so he just wouldn't tell me why he was the sadness was that he was unable to have his photograph taken with me and Simeon on that particular day. He just wouldn't have his photograph taken, or any photograph taken.
But he came.
Well, he came,
but he just didn't, yeah.
Yeah. So, which I was sad about. And even though my stepmother has now sadly been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, but even though it was a civil partnership, everyone, you know, those people, elderly, well, relatives of my father's generation refer to it as when you were married.
Yeah.
You know, that they look upon it as a marriage. You know, yeah. And this is in a way, you know, sort of.
Just checking the recording. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that sort of basically, you know, it was a lovely day. You know, and we didn't have a big celebration, but a gathering. A small gathering, at the Lincoln Register Office, and then a meal afterwards, and that's it was a lunch, and that's and then back home at Lincoln for a celebratory cake, really. Mm. So
sounds lovely. What year was that?
That would be, I'm trying to think, I was, either 7 or 8,
yeah,
7 or 8 years. I can tell you precisely when I look on the plaque I never remember the exact date. I know it was May the 23rd, Yeah, so that's that's 7 or 8 years ago, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, if you're a reader in the Church of England, converting that, for want of a better word, into a marriage in another church where it was legal would not be an option for you. I'm a bit unclear when it's reader and when it's ordained a ministry. Is it the same?
Yes, certainly, and that's with regard to, and that's Simeon and I would like to transfer, our sort of civil partnership to a marriage, and it'd be interesting to see whether my licence has happened within the Church of England, certainly reader ministry licence has been. Like revoked, and that's refused, and that's I'm thinking of one or two other readers within other dioceses, and that's I'm not 100% certain, but I'm certain that's happened with readers, but as it's happened within clergy,
yeah.
so I would lose my permission to, if you like, practice my ministry, I mean, I can't officiate at the Lord's table, you know, sort of, because I'm not priesthood, and that's my license of reader ministry would be withdrawn. I haven't sort of put that to the test yet, and that's sort of, but But it is something that we would like to, you know, sort of, and because the, then we, as other people have said, you know, sort of, we are fully, you know, why should we stay just to be, you know, a civil partnership, just to, you know, what they say, you know, you've got everything. It's not the same as, but you know, people, if you say civil partnership. But you know, sort of, on a form, and that's the way. So if you say we're married, you know, sort of, well, you're married. You know, it doesn't have that same sort of ring of truth to it, and that's sort of, and people look at, you know, that they people. If you say civil partnership, there are those people that say, you know, well, you know, why not marriage? You know, sort of, the ordinary person in the street, you know, sort of, can't see the problem. What is all the fuss about?
Yeah.
And especially with the with the Anglican, you know, sort of, primates, you know, sort of meeting this week at Lambeth, you know, whether that will resolve anything or how things will improve or whether things will stay the same. I can't see much sort of happening, you know, sort of, we'll just have to see.
Yeah. Have you had any involvement with LGCM?
Not what I call, active involvement with LGCM, and that's sort of, my only sort of involvement was really sort of in the sort of 80s and 90s, and that's sort of and really sort of you know, through, and that's sort of no, I haven't what I call had an active involvement. It was really only through changing attitude, really,
mm-hmm.
that I've had involvement, which is not the same as LGCM. But
are you still involved with changing attitude?
Not at the moment, but possibly will be, because there's looking a possibility of. A changing attitude group starting in Newcastle. There's a meeting in Newcastle next month in February.
Oh, okay.
So and that's of and we did used to be a member of LGCM, and that's of I have to confess I'm not initially a member as of, you know, this, you know, sort of, at this precise moment,
mm-hmm.
but I will be. I will be, as I've been reminded by, as Tracy's reminded me, I'm not a member, you know, so, neither is Simon, because Simon used to be a member, and that, but anyway, but we will be, and that's sort of, because we sort of feel so far away from, you know, from events, but if there's more, I've been reassured that there are more. Other members of in the northeast, sort of Newcastle, and that's about. It would be good to sort of try and sort of get involved. There's nothing happening in Durham, certainly, and that's sort of unfortunately, and that's and everything seems to head towards Newcastle, which although is okay, but it's 20 miles away. You know, sort of it's fine on the train. But anyway, we just have to. Even though we've had their house here in Durham sort of 8, 9 years in October, and that's sort of that, you know, we still haven't what I call met any other, or very few, well, I only met probably about one other couple, gay couple, male couple, and that's sort of, locally, you know, we haven't sort of met any other gay couples, and that's sort of, and as Simon keeps reminding me, we're never going to meet any gay friends within the church, you know, certainly that's our experience anyway, and that's something that we just want to meet like-minded people, you know, just for friendship and companionship, really, you know, sort of, so social events and sort of we'll just have to see you know, what materializes during in this forthcoming year, really.
Yeah. What do you think the future of the Church of England is?
Very bleak. I think it's been going through a very bleak time, and I can see even further divisions and even more and more people leaving, sort of as met if you like as so-called as members of the Church of England, and that's about, I can quite see very easily myself and my partner leaving the Church of England. It won't take much at all.
And where would you go?
Well, probably it sounds awful, probably from the frying pan into the fire, sort of whether we'd become Catholics and even joining the Roman Catholic Church, that would even be worse, sort of. But it hasn't, the institution of the church disappoints us greatly, but I haven't lost my faith and belief in God, in Jesus Christ. Like, my faith is as strong as ever, and that's the difference. There is a difference, sort of my personal faith, that's my own conviction, that's not changing, but it's just the sadness of the institution that they can't seem to just, it's like knocking heads together against a brick wall, sort of, goodness sake, and it's just not going to get any better, sort of, because the split with Africa and that's going to happen, and gay people are becoming even those either out or closeted, and those sort of within, whether lay or clergy or even bishops, the division is going to get greater, sadly. That I don't see any. I don't see things sort of getting any easier, and that's sort of, but we have thought about, do we go to some other, sort of institution, sort of that welcomes gay people, sort of or do we become a Quaker, or sort of, we I'm really, I can't say 100%, but I'd certainly go to some people, a church that certainly welcomes gay people anyway, and that's sort of, and embraces us and accepts it. Even the Metropolitan, sort of, but again, that there's only one Metropolitan church, and that's in Newcastle, so it's not going to be easy, and that's over these next few years.
What's your experience been as a reader? Are you ever allowed to mention the subject of sexuality within the Church of England? I'm thinking in a preaching capacity or.
Well, I could refer to it, but it's a bit like sort of how Billy Elliot, if you watch the film Billy Elliot, and that's a, 'cause this is a mining community, so an ex-mining community, and it's still very much a sort of macho, sort of feel, in one sense we feel almost more isolated, and that's sort of, as gay people, sort of here in the Northeast, but that doesn't stop our attraction for the Northeast and the people, but just there is a harshness, sort of, so no, it's even more difficult to actually sort of preach about oneself and about being gay and who we are, which is sad, sort of, because I know that if I did, I would, I probably wouldn't be asked to preach again or give a talk again, or that's the sadness. I know, because I sing in the church choir, and I even only last Friday, and that's and there's one particular choir lady, and that's of. Who is sort of 70, 71, and that's and a stalwart of the church, and we just sort of, I just, the choir practice had finished in the evening, had gone well, And I just said, oh, I said, you know, and I've never watched an episode of The Voice, but there's the Vicar of Rowland's Gill, I believe, was on an episode, and that's sort of, and Rowland's Gill is sort of a parish, sort of in the, still in the Durham Diocese, and that, but it's called Rowland's Gill, spelled Rowlands, then Gill,
Okay. Yeah, there was a vicar on it.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
right. But yeah, and I said, oh, I said, we'll have to watch that. You know, so person is singing. You know, sort of, and I can't remember the song now. And they said, oh, I said, Boy George is on the panel, and the choir lady said, oh, she said, that's the trouble. She said, they had to give all the gays a job. You know, sort of, and I thought now, I wasn't quite sure. I should have responded to it, but it was the end of it. It was evening, about sort of 8:15 in the evening, and I thought, now is that a dig at the BBC, or is that referring to me as a gay person being a reader and actively involved and that's in the church? So that's the sort of constant attitude that you have to sort of put up against. And I was told when I came, here, that it is very much a harsh community and a har harsh attitudes, because it was a all the parishes were very, mining, colliery based, I mean, this housing estate that the way I'm living now, and that's is on a built on a what they call what was a slag heap, so, and the mine, this mine closed, and that's 40 years ago, so. It's certainly challenging times at the moment.
Are you in general hopeful for the future of the wider church? Or, I mean, you've indicated that you think the future's bleak for the Church of England, but do you think the church as a whole?
I would like to think, I'd like to, I'm a positive person. I would like to think that I'm hopeful for the church in the wider scheme of things, but possibly not in my lifetime. You know, sort of, where you know, sort of, will be welcomed and embraced, and sort of, union, of marriage, between, two people of the same sex, I can't see that, sadly. I'd be very surprised if it hasn't happened yet anyway, and that sort of it would certainly take a number of years before that to evolve, as it did for just the pure recognition and acceptance of problems within marriage, the acceptance of divorced people, so when people's marriage break down, and the reunion, and for divorced people to marry in church, and that now that is more and more accepted, but that's taken quite a number of years, and again, and it's the same for gay people, just for them, their marriage to, because again, it's constantly being frowned upon. And being mentioned, a union is between a man and a woman, not between a man and a man, or a woman and a woman,
Okay, that's great.
Okay.
Thank you so much
Okay,
for your
pleasure. Well,
time.
I hope that's helpful.
No, very. Thank you.
As I say, I've